Live Creative Now, episode 49.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. In our last episode, episode 48, I talked all about a creativity and productivity killer that you may be harboring without even knowing. And in this episode, episode 49, I'm going to talk about the antidote to boredom and my secret weapon against gremlins. You know, those voices of self-doubt and self-criticism that we all have. Secret weapon. But before we get into that, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow, Thursday, March 24th, I am going to be offering another session of my free class on how to beat the bane of every creative's existence, procrastination. I'm going to be teaching the 6 keys to eliminate procrastination and unlock kick-ass productivity. This class has been so popular that I'm offering it again. And you can register now for free at livecreativenow.com/procrastination. Again, it is totally free. And yes, there will be a recording, if the technology gods are smiling, of course, but I am only sending the replay link to people who register. So you have to register if you want the replay. If you want to go live, or if you just want the replay, you have to register. So go sign up at livecreativenow.com/procrastination. And now, on with today's episode. I'm going to talk today about my antidote to boredom and my secret weapon against gremlins. But first, I'm going to talk about my art. Now, trust me, it will all make sense eventually. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, I have pictures over in the show notes. livecreativenow.com/049 will get you there directly. So a lot of the art that I've been creating in the past a little more than a year tends toward the minimal. So earlier in my art career, shall we say, I had a tendency more towards intricate maximalism, and I have a link to a very intricate maximalist kind of ketubah that I designed about a decade ago. And that I thought was my native way of working, but it turns out that I actually love lots of white space. And since the start of 2016, I have really been enjoying making black and white doodles that are bound to be published in a coloring book down the road, two of which are actually already in a coloring book, by the way, and there's a link in the show notes to that coloring book, which is a collaboration of 55 coloring book artists from all over the globe who've created this book of 110 pages of coloring book illustrations in all different styles, and we're selling it at cost, so there's no profit being made. So if you like coloring, check that out over at livecreativenow.com/049. Anyway, there's a picture in the show notes of one of my favorite doodles that has a lot of white space. It's very spare. And actually, there's pictures of 3 different doodles. They all seem to be tree or plant-like forms. They're very abstract. And I love using space this way, but I'm not always a minimalist. And in fact, a few of the abstract black and whites that I've been doing with the intention of eventually turning them into a coloring book, a few of them are of the fill the entire page variety. And I've got pictures of some works in progress that are of that variety that's less minimal and more maximal. The thing about those larger doodles that fill up the whole page with lots and lots of marks and shapes is that they take a long time. They take me several days to complete, whereas one of the more spare ones might take a day or two. And here's what happens. Once I start going from, I wonder where this is going, to pretty much knowing what's going to come next, I get bored. And then I'm not interested in finishing it. And this is where it becomes very useful for me to have more than one work in progress. So I have more than one drawing going on at the same time. So the first picture that you would see on the show notes of one of these larger doodles kind of looks evocative of a topographical map. And, you know, if I get bored with that, I can just flip a few pages and go to my critter explosion drawing, which is what I did today. And I have a detail shot, a real close-up of what I spent 15 or 20 minutes this morning doing, which was adding some critters, some that you might recognize and some that you won't recognize because they're fantastical creatures. That's what I did today. And that is a little piece of a larger work in progress that is just covering a full page. It's not complete yet, but it will, the idea is that it will cover or very close to cover the entire page. My point here is that as long as I can somehow get myself into the mindset of, what would happen if I tried this? Then I'm happy because I love improvisation. Executing on an existing idea like production, not so much. I am not keen on that. It bores the heck out of me. And I did a ton of that, enough of that kind of work for my lifetime in my earlier career as a hired pen, as a professional calligrapher and calligraphic artist who took on a lot of commissions. I would draw out a sketch, get approval from the client, and then execute the design. And the fun part for me was always the sketching, the coming up with the idea. Because I really like to be on that, in the state of being sort of on edge a little bit, in that state of constant discovery. And once the curiosity and the sense of discovery start to dissipate, then for me, it starts to feel more like work and less like play. And play is essential. That is where I need to be. When I'm not in that state of play, the perfectionist gremlins sneak in and they start to take over. And that leads to paralysis and misery. But here's the thing. Gremlins cannot deal with play. It confuses them. They do not understand it. So as long as you can really be in that play headspace, the gremlins head off to grab a latte and get a pedicure and get out of your head. And that is exactly where I want them. I want them to be otherwise occupied so that I can get down to creating. But playing seems to be so hard for so many of us, and that includes me. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment, including talking about a paradigm shift that changed my life and might just change yours. But before I get there, I want to talk about this problem of boredom, because I know that I'm not the only one with this problem. Somebody emailed me recently a little note, and part of it was, she wrote, as soon as something seems routine, I seem to get stuck. Exactly what I was just talking about, right? And if you are wired the same way, then it makes practicing your art a bitch. Now, if you're not wired like that, then that's totally normal. Not everybody is wired like me. Some people really love the routine and the predictable, and I can only imagine that they maybe find it relaxing and meditative. I'm not sure because I wouldn't really know because I am absolutely not wired that way. I do like my rituals in the morning, but with my art, I want to be in a state of where's it gonna go next? And executing on an existing idea does not give me that. So here's the thing. Whether you're creating a painting or an online course or a podcast episode or a new business, the creative process can be broken down into two phases. And both phases are required to bring anything into existence. Jonathan Fields writes about this in his book, Uncertainty, which I highly recommend. There's a link in the show notes. The two phases are first the insight phase, or also referred to as the dot connecting phase. This is where we're, you know, connecting the dots and making discoveries and having insights and exploring. And the second phase is the rep phase, which stands for the REP, and rep stands for refinement, expansion, and production. And the thing is, as I said, you need both of these phases to bring an idea to life, but creators tend to be fueled by one and drained by the other. I obviously am an insight girl. I love following my curiosity. I love asking what would happen if dot, dot, dot. And I love being in that state of constant discovery. But, you know, ask me to execute an idea that's already full fleshed out in my head, and it can quickly turn into a slog. And not surprisingly, this can be a big problem because, you know, there are lots of things that have to be fully fleshed out in my head, at least largely fleshed out on my head and then executed on in order to happen. Making an online course. I mean, there are certain things that I can improvise on, but there's also things that have to be executed. And this is why I call on, every tool in my toolbox to keep me moving forward when I'm in that rep phase, because it sucks the life out of me. I need all the help I can get to keep me on task because I get bored out of my skull. Blah, 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 blah. And as an aside, this is where my 6 keys to eliminate procrastination and unlock kick-ass productivity come into play. And as I mentioned in the intro, I'm offering this free webinar again tomorrow, March 24th, if you missed it the last time. So go to livecreativenow.com/procrastination to sign up for both live access and the replay. So the rep phase sucks the life out of me, and this is why I am so drawn to improvisational art forms. It is not a big surprise that as a dancer, I fell in love with social dances like salsa and Argentine tango, which are fully improvised dance forms. They each have their own vocabulary of movement, but within that vocabulary, it is 100% improvisational. I love that. And it's also why I fell in love with singing jazz as opposed to pop or some other genre, because jazz, which is just a vast, like it's not, I don't even know if that it's appropriate to call it a genre because it's just such a vast array of subgenres that are really range all over the map stylistically, but they all include improvisation. And big surprise that I fell in love with performing improv. The fact that I am strongly wired to get nourishment from the insight phase of the creative process is also why I usually draw and paint improvisationally as well. Just talking about that with my little black and white drawings. The more I can incorporate improvisation into my work, the more I can conflate the two phases of the creative process so that I'm executing and producing at the exact same time that I'm in the moment of discovery. So I've got the insight phase and the rep phase happening at the same time. And for me, that is play. Now, it might be really different for you. If you are wired to be nourished by rep, by refinement, expansion, and production, then it's likely that the insight phase gives you the heebie-jeebies. You might be really good at it, but you probably don't enjoy it as much as you do the rep phase. So I would guess that if you're a rep person, improv would feel like work, whereas the idea of executing a fully fleshed out idea might sound really delicious to you. The important thing here is to figure out what works for you. What works for you. Doesn't matter what works for me. What matters is what works for you. And then the next step is to give yourself permission to play. Now, I hear from people all the time, who tell me that their art is really important to them, but their actions seem to say the opposite. So they claim to just love their art and it's so important to them, but they never do it, or they rarely do it. And it's so confusing for people. I have been there. I understand. You feel that your art, your writing, your music, whatever it is so important. So why aren't you doing it? Don't actions speak louder than words? Does the fact that you're not doing your art, you're not creating, mean that you really don't want it as much as you think you do? You might even have friends or relatives who are trying to be helpful, who have asked you, hey, you know, maybe you should just stop trying. Maybe you should just let go of this thing and get on with your life, because you seem like you're being tortured by the fact that you're not doing it. And if you really wanted to do it, wouldn't you be doing it? No, that totally misses the point. Oh my gosh, it is such a misdirection. The reason that you're not doing your art is not because you don't really want it, but precisely because you want it so very badly. It is so counterintuitive and it's so crazy making, but the truth is, the more important something is to you, the more resistance you are likely to feel. Because resistance comes from one thing, and that is fear. You're not doing it because, you know, you're afraid it's not going to be good enough. You're afraid maybe you're going to have too much success. All the various different things that there are to be afraid of get in the way and turn into that resistance and keep you away from doing your creative thing. And fear is really powerful gremlin food. And remember what I wrote above about, or talked about before about gremlins? Gremlins cannot deal with play. They don't understand it. It confuses them. So they head off to grab a latte and get a pedicure, leaving you free to create to your heart's content. This is the secret power of my creative sandbox metaphor and manifesto. When you really embody the mind space of a four-year-old and allow yourself to play, totally unconcerned with the outcome, purely for the joy in the process, your gremlins don't have a chance. Now, of course, this is easier said than done. Like so many worthy practices, it's a practice. It's a practice of noticing, which sounds a lot like self-awareness, hello, and a practice of allowing yourself to be human and treating yourself kindly and lovingly and gently when you stumble, which is, of course, self-compassion. Now, if you have listened to previous episodes of this podcast, if you've read any of my blog posts, you have probably heard me say and talk about my golden formula many, many times. And it's those two practices added together, self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. Now, I developed the 10 rules of my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, which you can listen to in its entirety in episode 5. And again in episode, I think it's 41? Yes, episode 41 was a live version of me singing and explaining my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, I developed those 10 rules for myself as a way to get myself to let go of perfectionism and finally get back to the creative play that I longed for, but I wasn't letting myself do. And remember, play, when I really let myself inhabit that 4-year-old creative sandbox mind space, that is my secret weapon against gremlins. This is why my Creative Sandbox Manifesto is the foundation of everything I do over at Living a Creative Life and here on the Live Creative Now podcast. I practice my golden formula, self-awareness plus self-compassion, as a way to keep refining and keep tweaking the practices that work for me. And that leads to a lot more time spent playing, and that is my antidote to boredom. So, stir well, season to taste, tweak to fit, and let me know how it goes. That's it. That's a wrap. Before I sign off, just a quick reminder that tomorrow I am hosting my free webinar, The 6 Keys to Eliminate Procrastination and Unlock Kick-Ass Productivity. Just go to livecreativenow.com/procrastination and sign up for free. And I will send the replay link to everybody who registers. And you can also join me live if you're able to attend at the time of the webinar. I hope to see you there. Thanks so much for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.